using domestic courts. Mm-hmm. And I started experimenting, and I started trying different ways. And I soon came to realize that it's usually far more risky to make those attempts. Why? Because if you do land it on, you know, if you do place it before them clearly, what will happen is you'll end up winning your case, but they will sidestep the principle of law that you wish to have established. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've either had cases dropped flat, no, we're not going to play, you know, or yes, yeah, your client is not guilty for these reasons. And we're going to ignore constitutional questions, which came to me as a lawyer very surprising, that having triggered the constitutional question issue, and you'll see today people will say, oh, those always have to be answered. It's not true we can ignore them. Well, I can personally testify that I've had those questions completely ignored.
They plug their ears, pretending.
Exactly. We're not, and I've been told we're not going to decide that. You know, you've got your client off. We're not going to decide that, but the whole point of the matter was, the whole reason for me to get involved was not so much that this guy would get off on a, you know, not paying a $500 fine or something. It was to move the law over where it needs to go. So I've seen that at this point in time, our court system is still too political. It's still too geared to the hierarchy and the structures. And that comes from where? Well, the appointment of the judges. You know, I cannot, unfortunately, conclude in this area of law that we have a total independent judiciary. And that's a sad point that, in conclusion that I make. And it means no disrespect to the individuals on those courts. It's almost systemic. You know, it's just like people don't realize some of the terminology they use or some of the songs they sing or those sorts of things. They don't realize they're being racist, but they are. And it's the same realistic situation right now in terms of the court system. And of course, they're telling themselves, no, we're being practical, we're being fair, all these kinds of things. But it's not the case. So I have no longer focused on going to court with cases. And bottom line, for most people, I have to tell them, look, you know, it's not about resolving matters and getting money. Because if you want money, you go to court, you go and sign on to these different initiatives, legislative initiatives and self-government programs. And there'll be lots of money, but in the short term. That'll be cut off later, much, you know, and that'll be weaned down once they get what they need. So the alternative, of course, is lots of damage control. You know, I'm involved in a lot of damage control. One of the biggest ones right now, Sampson Cree case.
Oh, yeah.
That might come as a surprise to some people. Everyone thinks that one's going great. It's going to be the definitive case. I'm busy working with elders in Treaty 6 area, et cetera, who, in clarifying what their mandate was, what they said was permissible in terms of what they would say, how it should be presented, what it meant. And I've come to the unfortunate conclusion that that whole case started because you had a chief who got upset with Indian Affairs and decided to do something about it. Well, first and foremost, the reason for going into court and doing something, that's not a good reason to proceed, okay? Secondly, what that case is doing is providing a great opportunity to Canada. These people will end up having their money, the money that they already have, back within control of another trustee, but for the and so that's seen as some kind of victory. But for the price of that, the courts are already saying or, in, you know, directing, and it's not clear to me how this came to be, directing that, well, the people will need to do a referendum in order to get their money back or in hands of a third-party trustee, out of the hands of a bad trustee, being the federal government right now. So, curious, why would they need a referendum of these people? Well, it's simple, because right now, those cases that are brought forward, in particular Sampson Cree, they're brought by chief and counsel. They're brought by federal agencies. They're not binding on the people. Despite all the great effort to say, oh, well, you know, you see a lot of media coverage, oh, they pulled in all the Treaty 6 elders. They're trying to create the illusion that this is what they wanted. This was mandated. This was purely a representation of the people's intent, fully informed consent, all this sort of stuff. That is not the case in Sampson Cree. That is a chief and counsel, it is a lawyer or two, and that's all it is. And so all of a sudden this idea of a referendum popping up in order to change control over this money, which is, no one's going to argue that that needs to happen. But what it's doing there is creating a paper trail to say retroactively, the people specifically asked for that. What does that demonstrate, and what should that say to people? Where does that power still vest? Who has control over what ultimately takes place? It's still in the people until, as I said, they give it away. So in that kind of case, the lawyers are dangling, oh, you're going to get billions of dollars. And keep in mind, you know, there's like $80 million, I think it was, been sunk into that case so far. $80 million. How many houses? How many degrees? How many medications could have been purchased for that kind of money that went into the hands of lawyers? The kinds of situations I would focus on personally are things that are not pure money, but relate to standard of living, you know, that relate to the care of a child, that relate to those sorts of really close issues. And how I would do that would be to take it on a different level. It becomes much more, this stuff is very much a matter of diplomacy, very much a matter of pressures in a different sense. They cannot put the pressure on in terms of the normal domestic political pressure. But there are other ways. And that is because as a global society, we no longer tolerate some things. It's not an easy task. It really isn't. And when I criticize the lawyers, you have to also appreciate, though, that most of them, I will assume, are trying to help their clients and would be mortified to realize the harm they've done. You know, it's good intentions all around, but it's a lack of equipment. So I don't have an easy answer for that. Yeah, people need money, but do they? How much? Because what happens is once you start to bring a lawsuit with money as the focus, then I think things start to get a little skewed because then it's all about money, and then it makes it easy to not consider the implications of what is being said in order to get that money. I mean, like I said, in this country, you can always get money. it's just what you're willing to pay for it in the long term in terms of indigenous peoples. I mean, if you look at, you know, back east where you are, there are some people who I think have done some things for money, you know, not the people as a whole, but maybe a chief and council here and there, parts of that, not the whole of them, but have put in place initiatives. And why were they motivated to do so? Money, right? Well, why do they need the money? Well, because of the circumstances their people are living in. Some of these chiefs that have moved forward have also had good intentions, are not inherently evil people. They're just trying to do the best they can, and they're overwhelmed by the situation their people find themselves in. Well, that's where we got to focus on then, because you're just reacting to the symptoms, not the cause. And so my recommendation is for people to get more into that level. And there are ways to trigger things like honor of the crown, duty of fairness, international pressures, international covenants, safety and health and welfare of children, for example, that ought to be more of a focus than, gee, we should have earned a few more dollars on our oil and gas. You know, with all due respect, those are important matters too. But my viewpoint, until you start to focus the attention on the immediate needs of those people, not just dollars flowing into government organizations, because they don't tend to flow directly to the people. It doesn't tend to impact those people. And what happens is those pressures don't go away. That money runs out, and then it's still there, and then you have another kick at the can going through a lawsuit, something like that, and still the people's welfare is ignored, and their circumstances are ignored, and they're always told, well, just one more lawsuit. It never works that way. And even with the land claims, I mean, you look at people who've been through those things, and how their lives changed. You go up there and visit. What has happened? What's different? And when Seashell did their deal, there's a lot of their elders who are downtown Vancouver now because they couldn't afford to stay on their land. There's a lot of their elders who are downtown Vancouver now because they couldn't afford to stay on their land. There's a lot of their elders who are downtown Vancouver now because they couldn't afford to stay on their land. There's a lot of these kinds of stories don't come out, and people don't hear about it because these people don't have voices. Media doesn't respond. As soon as the deal's done, great. Lots of certainty, lots of publication, lots of, you know, economic certainty. That's what matters. What about the people who've had to pay with their homes, their family connections, all that sort of thing? So I get quite, I'm quite, at this point, against proceeding in court. Does that give a free rein to government? Well, I've seen how you can pressure government. I've seen how you can change agendas. But the focus is, in my view, in the recommendation, the focus is not so much on what they're doing, because they're going to keep doing. Canada, provinces, they're all going to keep doing, because it's working for them. Look, they've got you guys going, you know, got them going into court. It's working for them. Why should they stop? You stop going into court. You start working together. You start pooling what you have. You start helping each other. You start moving into those sorts of environments. You take away their control. You're not playing their game anymore. Makes it far more difficult. And that happens with that strong, comes right down to the people. They can say no. So it's they're not alone. There's a lot of, I mean, in fact, coming up shortly, there's a lot of people from across east to west, and north to south, coming together to start to work on these things together and say, first and foremost, we have to confirm to the world who we are. We cannot allow others to paint a picture of who we are in an incorrect way. First and foremost, you can't go anywhere, you can't solve any problems if the Indigenous peoples are being painted as de facto as minorities under the control of a domestic government. They won't have any recourse except to plead with governments, to plead with courts and say, please, can we have something? That's not a good formula for survival. They have to first assert, make sure everyone's clear, they're still here. This is who they are. This is what it means in terms of sovereignty and self-government. This is what it's really all about. Now, world, now, Canadian public, now can you understand why this federal government doesn't have this power to do this? So all of that takes education and time, but first and foremost, you have to make sure that the picture is really, really clear, and that's going to take some work right now. And so that's what I tell people to focus on, not to worry about what's being signed, what's being done, the money that's been lost. First and foremost, it's survival stage, unfortunately. It really is. Money's a luxury at this point, and I don't think anyone would disagree with me on that. It's unfair. It's a, you know, it's not right. It's not the way it ought to be. But the first thing that has to be done is to counteract what's being said about them to the world, because otherwise the world won't listen anymore, and there'll be no place to turn in terms of moving things forward.